The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a legend who has Mac's back as the biggest decision in decades already been made in New England. Meanwhile, there's only one choice to be made in Chicago. So why is it the Bears aren't making it? We'll take you there. And Tom Brady has 19 new names to put on his list. Are there really that many players better than he is? We'll answer all those questions as we get up with you, starting right now from the Seaport. Greeny Graziano ready to roll here, talking football with you, and look at the squad. They are very excited in Baton Rouge this morning, I will tell you that, because Booger McFarland and Marcus Spears are ready to go. The LSU is in full effect, and we'll get to them right after we get up and go this morning with the news of the day, which includes 49er rookie quarterback Trey Lance, expected to miss about a week with what Coach Kyle Shanahan called a small chip and a finger on his throwing hand. Lance suffered the injury with 15 seconds left in the first half of Sunday's preseason finale against the Las Vegas Raiders. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers are working on a contract restructuring for star wide receiver Mike Evans, adding cap space for another potential championship run. He's coming off seven consecutive 1,000-yard seasons and 61 total touchdowns. Meanwhile, tennis anyone? Naomi Osaka back and better than ever in Grand Slam activity, pulling away in round one of the U.S. Open last night to beat Marie Buskova 6-4, 6-1. Osaka did not play at Wimbledon after pulling out of the French Open following the first round there for reasons involving mental health. So that is the setting of the table, and now to the matter at hand. In New England, the Patriots remain in the midst of the most interesting quarterback battle in the NFL between Cam Newton and Mac Jones. Just how much of a battle is it? Well, we'll find out shortly. Bill Belichick meeting the media right now in Foxborough. We will let you know immediately if he does indeed name a starting quarterback. But one of the best players ever to play for Bill says he thinks this is an easy choice. Rodney Harrison, now a commentator at NBC, said Mac Jones did everything that Coach Belichick and Josh McDaniels wanted him to do. He's the perfect quarterback for this system. This is the right guy for the job. It's a no-brainer to me. That's what he says. Let's see what our crew says. Swagoo, is it a no-brainer to you who the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots should be?
I wish it was a no-brainer, but I still think it's Mac Jones, and it should be. The bottom line is this, G. Like, Cam Newton had an upper hand because I think Bill Belichick has an affinity for him. I even believe Bill Belichick wanted to see Cam have the moments that he wanted him to have to take over this job, but he just didn't. And the reality of it is, as much as see Cam have success personally, when you look at competitions and when you look at preseason, this is what they're for. And the bottom line is Mac Jones has outperformed Cam Newton. And yeah, Cam didn't do anything to mess himself up, but he didn't do anything to separate himself either. And when you think about a rookie coming in this particular situation, the New England Patriots draft an offensive player in umpteen years, and then this kid performs like this. And I was screaming it before the draft. Do not take Mac Jones third, San Francisco, and the ideal destination would be the New England Patriots. And you know why? Because Mac Jones is doing the same thing he was doing in college. He's surrounded by the same type of guys, the same type of system, and everybody knew prior to that draft that Mac Jones was a great processor. He understood what he was walking into. They talked about how fast he could grasp the system. And look, he waited his time at Alabama, and now he's matured. He's a mature enough guy, a mature enough kid, basically, to come in and take this job and not mess it up. And that's what Bill Belichick wants. He wants you to not mess it up. He's not looking for the next Patrick Mahomes.
So you think he's ready to go to the rookie. How about you, Booger? Are you ready to turn the page and go to Mac Jones?
Well, absolutely, because I think when you look at how Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick want to play offense, it's everything that Mac Jones does well. Rhythm, timing, throwing the ball, understanding how and where to go with the football, making quick decisions. He is as advertised when you and I sat on that desk, Greeny, at the draft. We talked about what Mac Jones was, what could he be, and what's his potential. And I think we're seeing it right now. And Greeny, Cam Newton is just too inconsistent. Yes, I understand he's battled back. He's came back from COVID where he looks really good now throughout the preseason. But can we trust Cam Newton throughout the season to get rid of the ball, to be accurate, to throw the football on time? I don't. I've said it before. I think the 2015 MVP Cam Newton is an anomaly, and the guy that we've seen most is a guy who's inaccurate, a guy who struggles throwing the football with accuracy and timing, and I think Mac Jones does all of that well, and if you're Josh McDaniels in the back of your mind, all you're saying is he's not Tom Brady, but he can do some of the same things with rhythm, timing, getting the ball out to the right person. The number one thing a quarterback must do, guys, he must be accurate. He must make good decisions. Mac Jones does both of those. Cam Newton does not. This is an easy decision for me.
Well, so we're waiting to hear what Bill Belichick decides to do this morning. What's the reporting coming out of there? What are we hearing?
That it's not an easy decision, that they're actually wrestling with it, but that says more about Mac Jones' performance than Cam Newton's.
Absolutely.
And talking to people close to this situation, it sounds like the building and the players would be fine with whatever. They really love and have been impressed with Mac Jones, but they love Newton too, and he's performed well as well. The thing he hasn't done, to Swagoo's point, is widen the gap between himself and the rookie. And as a result of that, as a result of the way Mac Jones has played, they have a decision to make in New England on who's going to start week one. Everybody knows it's going to be Mac Jones eventually. They picked him in the first round. They weren't picking him just in case. He's going to be their quarterback. The question is when and whether Cam gets a start or two at the beginning of the season. That's what they're wrestling with.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, Grass, here's the thing I'll throw in. Why did they draft Mac Jones? Because, like, they saw Cam Newton last year, and so they saw the inconsistencies of Cam. Like, Cam is not an old quarterback. Cam, if he's healthy, he can still have several years left in his career. Why did the Patriots go out and feel like they needed a franchise quarterback? It's because of the inconsistencies of Cam Newton. I don't trust those inconsistencies to be fixed just because he's a year removed from COVID. That's the reason I say this is an easy decision. Trust your gut instincts on why you went and got the guy in the first place.
That's exactly right. They didn't draft him because they felt set at the position. Right, I want to get much more into this. Marcus, I want to play you what Jeff Saturday said a little later in the show. I want to get to Justin Fields here, but we have much more to say about the New England decision. And again, we'll see what Bill Belichick says, if anything. In the meantime, let's get to this young man, Justin Fields, who has been turning heads throughout the preseason with impressive performances. He threw a touchdown pass and ran one in, 6 for 6 when taking 4+ seconds to throw. Wasn't quite as sharp in week 2 of the preseason, completed fewer than half his passes, ran for 46 yards. It was actually the former Bear, Mitchell Trubisky, who stole the headlines in that game. But then Fields flashing more playmaking ability in his preseason finale with an impressive 20-yard touchdown pass or run into tight coverage. Yesterday, Matt Nagy had this to say.
Andy has to control Andy. Andy can't control something that's out of his control, which is Justin. You know what I mean? So if Andy controls Andy, we have success on offense and we play well and we're winning. That's a good thing. I think we'd all understand that's a good thing while this kid develops and continues to grow and learn and watch tape. But at the same point in time, Justin needs to do everything he can from week one in the video, in the meetings, at practice, always being prepared because you're one play away. And so you can't sit back and say, I'm number two. I can't, this isn't what I wanted. And he doesn't do that, but you got to be prepared like they all do.
So that's what Matt Nagy said. David Carr, meanwhile, who is a quarterback who legendarily had his career compromised by playing behind a bad offensive line during his time after being the number one pick in Houston, was on the Dan Patrick Show and said, do we want to put Justin Fields behind the Bears offensive line that I've watched the last 3 weeks? Absolutely not. I've been in that situation. So that is what a quarterback thinks. What does a defensive lineman think? Marcus Spears, who should be the starting quarterback for the Bears?
Justin Fields. And I said it before we even got to this point. And listen, this whole O-line thing is mind-boggling to me because the goal when you put a team on the field is to win the damn football game. And to put the best guys out there, that gives you that opportunity. We all know Justin Fields gives them the best opportunity to win games. Down to, the offensive line is the issue in a lot of places. So let's put the guy that's not as good as the other guy in the game so we don't have to worry about him getting injured or being hit. Man, that's football. Justin Fields is going to take off behind a good offensive line. He's going to improvise and extend plays if he had a good offensive line. So when we start thinking about this in this particular context, miss me on that. Because I'm sitting on the bench while our offense is continuously going three and out because we don't have a guy that can extend plays. And now everybody wants the Chicago Bears defense to take them to the playoffs. Well, realistically, you need a damn quarterback to do that. And Justin Fields is the guy for the Chicago Bears to get them the best chance to do that.
Booger, to say the least, you look skeptical.
Well, I agree with Swagoo that Justin Fields is the most talented guy. He's athletic and he can escape behind a bad offensive line. But I think we're confusing most talented with ready to play. I agree, he's the most talented, Spears, but he's not the most ready to play. And I think that's why Matt Nagy is hesitant to play him. Just go back and look at the game against the Buffalo Bills where Justin Fields gets his head knocked off. That's on Justin Fields. You got to protect yourself. He didn't know where the blitz was coming from. And so as a young quarterback, part of understanding is also understanding how to minimize the negative plays, and he couldn't do that. And I just find it hard to believe that a guy that's less than a year removed from college football, where they looked to the sideline and looked at big boards to get plays, who's still learning how to call plays in the NFL, who's still learning how to take snaps from under center, all of a sudden you want to throw him out there week one. We are so quick to throw these rookie quarterbacks out there week one because all we think about is the highs. All we think about is the ceiling. Let me tell you a quick story. Greeny, you'll love this. I'm building a new pool in my backyard. And the architect sat down and he showed us these plans. And the pool is going to be great when it's done. I mean, it's going to be outstanding. But you know what he didn't tell us? He didn't tell us along the way that the construction, you would break a few things. You would break some windows. You break some gas lines. There will be a couple of nights where, Booger, you don't have hot water because of the construction process. The damage that takes place along the way is something that we didn't know. All we focused on was the finished product. We're focusing on the ceiling of Justin Fields. We're focusing on the ceiling of Trey Lance. What these coaches are trying to do is minimize the damage along the way that playing a rookie quarterback before they're not ready is going to cause. So I agree with Matt Nagy. You play Andy Dalton, and when the kid is ready to play, then you play him. But I don't think he's ready to play right now.
Am I the only one who thinks that Booger needs someone different putting in his pool?
A lot to unpack.
I mean, that just feels like a lot of damage to have put pool in.
You get a couple more estimates.
Why would you have no hot water in your house by putting a pool in your backyard? This doesn't make any sense
to me. A lot going on there.
You know why? You know why his pool is happening like that? Because Andy Dalton building this damn pool instead of Justin Fields.
Nice.
That's why his pool look like that. Okay, the bottom line is you play the best damn player at the position in the game, and that is Justin Fields. I get it.
Even if he's not ready?
Football. Boog, no rookie is ready. None of them. None of them are ready. We could continue to talk about these guys like they all going to have growing pains. They all going to miss picking up a blitz. They all going to hold the ball too long. That is what happens with rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. Yes, we love their highs and we love when they great and we love all of that. But you don't think – I saw Justin Herbert have bad moments. I saw Joe Burrow hold the ball behind a bad offensive line at times before the injury. Joe Burrow had problems. I've seen every rookie quarterback. Peyton Manning threw interceptions. Jameis Winston threw picks. All in their rookie season. If we worried about the guy
Everything.
Getting injured, when do you play him? Because he's still going to get hit.
Everything you're saying is true. But think about those situations. Peyton Manning, they didn't have anybody else. Jameis Winston, number one overall pick, you put him in. Justin Herbert, he gets thrown in because Tyrod Taylor gets punched in the lung. They have another option in Chicago. So if you don't have to rush the rookie, why are you trying to rush him?
And that's the key thing here, right? Like to understand the way the Bears perceive this, not the way we perceive it on the outside. Matt Nagy thinks he has a situation where he doesn't have to go through the growing pains. He thinks he can win with Andy Dalton. That was the plan before they knew they could get Justin Fields in the draft. He may be wrong. I mean, we can sit here and say he's wrong, but the fact of the matter is the way he's looking at it, he thinks he can win with Andy Dalton and hold off Justin Fields until he's past that part of the growing pains.
for you, Graz, and for you, Boog, y'all better remember, I watched Andy Dalton play for my team last year behind a bad offensive line, and they ain't win a damn thing. So that's what Matt Nagy want. Have at it, Matt Nagy.
I have to hold this thought right here. We will have more on this, and we'll be taking further bids on Booger's next pool operation.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take a shot at it.
In the interim, we will come back to Tom Brady. People should know by now, Brady holds grudges. We'll tell you how an ESPN poll might have him awful cranky this morning. And speaking of polls, there's one out right now that gives Dak and the Cowboys a whole lot of love. You'll hear what it says and why, candidly, it might be way over the top. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back, and this has certainly gotten a lot of attention over the last couple of days. 50 of our NFL analysts ranked their top 100 players. Again, this was meant to be predictive of how they would perform in this coming season. And here are the quarterbacks. Not a big surprise that Patrick Mahomes would be at number one overall. But down the bottom of that screen, you see our prediction is that Tom Brady will be the sixth best quarterback in the NFL this year and the 20th best player in the NFL this year. Booger McFarland, is that too high or too low on Tom Brady?
Well, Green, I think that's way too low, considering this is a man who took a team that Jameis Winston had at, 8-8, 9-7. He took the same team, basically, took him to the Super Bowl. I don't care what age Tom Brady is. The job of the quarterback on any team, even the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, is to be the chief point guard, be the guy that distributes the ball, gets the team in the right place, minimizes negative plays, and nobody does that better than Tom Brady. You can make an argument for Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, but Tom Brady has proven he's the best point guard in the league when you give him weapons around him. And for him to be ranked 20, come on. Like, to me, I need to talk to the people at our company that rank the other 19 players, specifically the other five quarterbacks ahead of him. We need to have a conversation. Maybe they're stuck in that building for the people that do the FPI and the BPI, people that we've never met, Greeny. Those are the people I need to talk to because they're the ones doing this list.
That's Hembo over there, by the way. You've hurt his feelings.
Marcus,
let me come to you on the same thought. because you know Tom Brady is going to put 19 names on his list. I mean, we know for sure, Brady is going to notice those 19 names. Hembo, meanwhile, is at the top of his list.
Upset.
Marcus, what do you think? Is Brady too high or too low?
He's too high. Listen, we're talking about every player in the NFL. And it's players that's doing their job at a higher level from a talent standpoint and production standpoint than Tom Brady, okay? I know nobody wants to hear it. I'm not saying Tom Brady is not good. I'm not saying he's falling off a cliff. I'm just talking about the young talent in the league right now and guys that's playing their positions. Look, Tom Brady, if not being number one, will always piss somebody off. It'll always make somebody mad. But you know what I'm doing with those other quarterbacks that we saw on those lists? at this time, I'm taking him before I take it Tom Brady because I'm looking at the future. And yes, he went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl. It was not the expectation, but we expected them to be much better. And to Boog's point, this was not the same team that Jameis Winston had that went to a Super Bowl at all.
Let me get Graziano.
Marcus Spears.
Go ahead.
Hold on, Greeny. Yeah. Marcus Spears. What's the toughest position in maybe all of sports to play? It's quarterback. So if we're going to agree that that position is the toughest to play, and Tom Brady is playing it regardless of the future, I'm talking about right now, he's still playing it at the highest level, how are you going to say that other quarterbacks should be ranked above him when we agree that that position is not just the toughest to play in football, but maybe all of sports?
Because
I watched them. Go ahead, Grimes.
No, I mean, it's not a ranking of who's had the best career. Brady would be number one. I mean, it's what do we think is going to happen this year? And based on last year, I mean, look, Brady won the Super Bowl. Yes, I mean, hats off. He was number nine in QBR. He was number nine in pass. It's not an insult at this point in his career to say other quarterbacks will play better than Tom Brady. That doesn't mean any of them will win the Super Bowl. And certainly Brady would not trade his Super Bowl for a higher ranking in a list like this. But that's not what this is about.
Booger, let me help you out. Last year at this time, Tom Brady was practicing his golf with Phil Mickelson and throwing passes on high school fields to players he probably couldn't recognize. This year, there's every reason to think he's going to be better. I know he's 44 years old, but Tom Brady is bringing back everybody his second year in an actual system. I think, Marcus, Tom Brady himself is going to be better this year than Tom Brady was in 2020. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, and I understand it. I don't think he's going to be better than Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's going to be better than Dak. I don't think he's going to be better than those guys. Sue me. But if I'm taking quarterbacks, Tom Brady ain't going to be
the
top guy.
But how are you defining better? How are you defining better? Wow. Because he may not put up bigger numbers, but if you need to win a game, are you taking all those guys ahead of him? If you need to win, are you taking those guys ahead of him?
That's not the question.
Hell no.
There's no way he's taking Lamar Jackson
and Dak Prescott above Tom Brady.
We are talking about another question. What's the same damn question?
The question is who's the best quarterback in the league after the season? I think, and the answer is the guy who wins all the games, right? Isn't the answer the guy who wins all the football games?
Yeah, I mean, we're really going to sit here.
Robert Ory won 7 championships. Listen, this the bottom line. If we projecting at the end of this season, based on what my understanding is, maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I am, I don't think Tom Brady is going to be a top 5 quarterback.
We will see.
I could be wrong, but I don't think it.
And Booger will sue him as soon as he's done suing his pool guy.
That's right. And Tom Brady has definitely put Marcus on his list today, and Robert Ory, who didn't do anything to deserve being thrown into this conversation. All right, let's take control of the proceedings here. As we continue, if Sunday was any indication, it's going to be a long year for Daniel Jones. You'll hear why Booger is going to give Big Blue fans some hope next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and I want you to see this. Marcus Spears, they don't have a category called assists in football, but if they did, then this player should get one. Watch as he's about to go down. Watch his teammate grab him, get him back up on his feet.
Yes.
And he's going in for the touchdown.
And that's what
Marcus, what do you think?
That's what your boy is supposed to do for you. They supposed to catch you when you're falling. This what the Chicago Bears are wanting Justin Fields to do, but people standing in the damn way, Bug.
You know, Marcus holding a grudge.
Let it go. I mean, he's just like Frozen and let it go, Spears. Let it go.
It's two segments ago. Yeah. One way or another. Gone, man. How about that play, Graziano? Could your legs do that?
No, I would be in the hospital for a month if this happened to my legs. Youth is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's just a spectacular
look at it,
play.
Man.
And they should do that in the NFL. They should have guys standing there next to a receiver to hold him up.
Are they allowed?
In case he gets knocked down. Okay, Graziano, meantime, let's get to business here. Let's run the hurry up with a bunch of different NFL news, including the latest at what was a busy day in conversations about Deshaun Watson trade rumors.
Yeah, just conversations. It'll be interesting to see if anything does actually happen today. Teams have to have their rosters down to 53 by 4 p.m. Eastern today. If he's on Houston's roster, that means they're comfortable going all season and leaving him inactive, effectively playing with 52. If they move him to another team, obviously that'll be big news. We're watching for that today. Meanwhile, serious news, the New Orleans Saints have had to relocate their whole operation because of Hurricane Ida. They're practicing this week in Dallas at the Cowboys Stadium. And Sean Payton said yesterday they honestly do not know where they'll have to practice next week. Seems unlikely they'll be able to go back. Obviously, losses of power there and other damage that really nobody knows the extent of yet. Hoping for the best for everyone there. The Saints, meanwhile, are on the move. And then last night, the NFL sent a memo to teams about this year's COVID protocols. One of the most significant changes is they've decided to test vaccinated players and personnel every 7 days as opposed to every 14, which was in the original proposal. This is because of the proliferation of the Delta variant and the number of positive tests among vaccinated individuals. The union wants everyday testing. They're still pushing for that, but this is as far as the league has been willing to go so far.
But one way or another, COVID, we know will have an impact on the upcoming season, and we wanted to give you just a sense of places that it already is. Tennessee quarterback Ryan Tannehill, one of at least 9 positive COVID tests for the team last week. So he went on that reserve list last Thursday, and he's in the midst of being out 5 to 10 days. In Tampa, Buccaneers defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh was one of at least 4 players from the team to be placed on that reserve COVID list. All 4 are vaccinated, according to our sources. And then I want to focus in for a moment on the situation in Indy where Carson Wentz has been placed on that list over the weekend. He and 2 others from the team were close contacts with a Colts staff member who tested positive. And Dan, again, just to so that we can be clear on all of this, we know some things about Carson Wentz based upon those circumstances.
Right. So if you're identified as a close contact of someone who tests positive and you have to miss 5 days, that tells us that you are unvaccinated. Because if you are vaccinated and you're a close contact with someone who tested positive and you don't test positive and you don't show symptoms, you don't have to be away from the team. But if you're unvaccinated, you do. For 5 days. So we can draw the conclusion from this that Carson Wentz, who has declined to answer direct questions about this, is not vaccinated. And obviously this is a situation where he now has to miss 5 days. This was supposed to be an important week where he ramped up his practice activity as a full participant after that surgery that he had about 4 weeks ago. And they're hoping he's ready for week 1. This obviously affects that timetable.
So let's talk about the football side of this. Carson Wentz, Booger, got hurt the first practice in Indianapolis. And now, just upon his ability to return, he has to miss this additional time. He is going to have almost no practice time before week 1. How is that, in your opinion, going to impact his ability to lead that team to early wins in what is a very tough early part of their schedule?
Well, it's definitely not ideal, Greeny, but I think you look at the familiarity between Frank Reich and Carson Wentz, I think they're going to have to rely on that. I'm not going to hold the COVID close contact against him. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, he's injury prone. And you know what? You're injury prone while you're getting injured. If he stays healthy and goes out through the rest of the season and plays to the level that we think he can play to, we won't even remember the foot surgery during the preseason because nobody remembers the preseason. I think Frank Reich and Carson Wentz have to trust each other because I know Chris Ballard, the GM, trusts them both to go out on the field and make sure that they put this team in a position to win, not just offensively. Make sure they don't turn the football over. Their defense in Indianapolis is really good, led by Matt Eberflus and Darius Leonard. They just got to make sure they lean on the offensive line, lean on the defense, allow Carson Wentz to get his footing early on. And if he does and he can stay healthy, I think the Indianapolis Colts are going to be a really, really good team on that side of the bracket.
The problem is when you talk about you're not going to hold the COVID thing against him and you use a word like trust, I think it's important for people who are watching to understand this. This is not about what you think about vaccinations, and it's not about, you know, what you think about the NFL's rules. The NFL's rules are such that an unvaccinated player is putting himself at far greater risk of having to miss practices and games than a vaccinated player is. So if Carson Wentz and any other unvaccinated player on the Colts, one of the least vaccinated teams in the league, it does not change their mind on this, then it's going to be very difficult for anyone to trust his availability, because at any moment, this could happen again.
That becomes a factor in all of this. Let's go to the on the field directly, though. Week one, they play Seattle, Marcus. And Carson Wentz, if he gets through this next 5 days and all that, he will spend 4 or 5 days on the practice field, and that's all he will have had as a member of the Indianapolis Colts. Is that a factor the first week or two of the season?
Yeah, it's a factor, because Jamal Adams probably going to pick him off. Listen, here's the deal, man. When you think about all of the things that have transpired, I'm not talking about the journey when he got with the Colts. Y'all, Carson Wentz was terrible last year. If anybody forgot, he was bad. I know we get lost in the whole idea that he's with Frank Reich and now he's supposed to be reinvigorated and better. And I'm optimistic too. I've said that. But the bottom line is this. Carson Wentz, when he was with Philly, was not in an ideal situation. Close to an ideal situation you can be in Indianapolis. But also, we got to acknowledge that Carson Wentz had a lot of fault in how Carson Wentz looked as well. Yeah. So we all think it's going to be great that he's with Frank Reich. We all think it's going to be great that he's supported by an offensive line. He won't take as many hits. But I don't know if I'm like overly optimistic that, oh, once Carson Wentz gets 4 days of practice, he's going to be fine. This dude sucked last year, and we think he's going to be better, but he needed time in order to prepare and get ready to play a season, especially coming off the things that he went through, not only last year football-wise, but injury as well.
This is why we love Marcus. There's very little mincing of words when it comes to the situation. And But it's an accurate representation of what happened a year ago. And now to have absolutely no or as close to no preparation as is conceivable going into this season, it's a roll of the dice. We'll see what they get. In the meantime, New York is our next stop. Quarterback Daniel Jones took 2 sacks and was pressured 9 times in the team's last preseason game against New England, and particularly on that left side where the offensive tackle Andrew Thomas plays. He was the 4th pick in the draft 2 years ago. But our friend Booger McFarland tweeted this. He tweeted, in October of last year, Andrew Thomas equals Burger King. If you line up against him, just have it your way. Then it looks like you updated it here. And says, doesn't sound like much has changed in almost a year. That is quite the... So Booger McFarland, I set this up.
That's the bull.
It is funny.
That's the bull I know everybody.
Booger.
The professional bull that everybody know. That tweet is the bull I know.
That's exactly right. So, Booger, that is a whopper of a tweet, if you will. So my question to you then becomes this. If you're telling us you're that concerned about the Giants' offensive line, why are you as high on the Giants as I know you to be? Is that a team that is going to be sneaky good or sneaky bad this year?
Well, Greeny, I think they're going to be sneaky good, and here's why. Yes, in the preseason, the offensive line has really been bad, and Andrew Thomas, he's still serving it up like Burger King. But I do think in the regular season, you can game plan against that, where in the preseason, you don't. Swagoo, stop laughing. In the preseason, you don't do that. Now, Saquon Barkley is back. I love their defense. Their defense is outstanding. They went out, they got Kenny Golladay. They got more weapons for Daniel Jones. And good Lord, Daniel Jones can't keep turning the ball over, Kenny. Like, at some point, he has to value the football. So I'm optimistic based on the authoritative factor of Joe Judge, based on them not turning the football over, and based on a defense that I know was good last year and is going to improve, that this team can be better than a lot of people think. Now, if they put Andrew Thomas out there on that island by himself and ask him to block like Chase Young and DeMarcus Lawrence and these guys, Greeny, the stock at Burger King will be higher than Apple. It'll be higher than Peloton. It'll be the highest stock in America because it will be serving it up. Whoppers will be like 44 cents a Whopper, Greeny. They have to make sure, Greeny, that Andrew Thomas is protected at left tackle.
Marcus.
I ain't optimistic at all, man. Listen, this for me It's kind of sad. Like, everybody knows my affinity for the Cowboys and how much I love my team. But I wanted to see if Daniel Jones could actually progress. You can't progress behind a bad offensive line. And look, Boog is right. Thomas had a bad day, but the interior had a bad day. I saw the draft for the New England Patriots destroying guards, pushing them right back into Daniel Jones' lap. And now you couple that with the decisions that Daniel Jones makes as well, with Jason Garrett calling offense, who everybody really has a beat on at this point. I'm scared. I'm scared for the Giants. I'm going to say it today. They better marketably improve on their offensive line. They better marketably improve at their QB position, especially from a decision-making process. Daniel Jones threw an interception in the red zone, trying to throw back across his body to, I think, Evan Engram in the end zone instead of using his athleticism and getting to the corner. And everybody talk about more because it's the preseason. Daniel Jones shouldn't get hit. Here it is right here. It's the preseason. He shouldn't run. He do it in the regular season. We watched him do it all year last year. So I want to see him do something different in the preseason to show me that he learned from those things. And then he has the highs where he does this and he places the ball well. This was a beautiful throw. This is Daniel Jones. This is why everybody like, I don't know what he going to be. I don't know what he going to do. I don't understand where he at. Bad offensive line and a poor decision maker is not a recipe for you to have success during the football season.
And Dan Graziano, they have taken some steps to try to improve that offensive line, yes?
Made a trade yesterday for Billy Price, the former first-round pick of the Bengals. He can play guard. He can play center. And my understanding is they're still working on other potential moves for the interior of that offensive line. Look, Andrew Thomas is going to be the left tackle. He was the 4 pick last year. If he's no good, they are in deep, deep trouble. But to Marcus's point, they do think that they can help him if they improve, you know, say at left guard and center over what we saw the other night. So look, watch out for those moves.
I don't know everything, but I do know this. If it's 12 days to the opener and you're remaking your offensive line right now, you've got some problems. All right, as we continue in a moment, Marcus Spears absolutely thinks, and he makes no bones about it, that Justin Fields should be the starting quarterback in Chicago. He has some advice for Matt Nagy, and you don't want to miss it next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It is time for another edition of Swagoo Says, where he will interpret, because he understands what it is people really mean when they say the things that they say. Let's start in Chicago. The Bears coach is Matt Nagy, and he was talking about a new role for Justin Fields. Here's what he said.
He's scout team, and he'll be out there trying to do everything he can to give our defense the best look that they can give. And but within that, you know, there's a lot of concepts that we see and that we do where he can continue to make plays. Like, don't go out there and just be a guy that's just throwing the ball around. You're not, you know, like, you want to grow as a quarterback in that position. So that's what he understands and knows, and you know, that's where we're at right now with him.
That's what Matt Nagy said. What does Swagoo say?
Blah, 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 blah. Don't say Justin Fields' name until he the starter, Matt Nagy. Like, this man about to play scout team, and he know he better than the guy that's going to be taking the first team reps and getting ready and preparing for a game. Matt Nagy and Justin Fields might lock up at some point and have a fight, because it's going to continue to be more and more obvious as the season goes along.
And that really is amazing. He's working with the scout team, and while he's doing that, he might pick up a few of our passing concepts. It really is sort of a funny thing to say. Okay, next stop is New York.
Blah, 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 G.
Better put, absolutely. In New York, Daniel Jones commenting on the struggles of his offensive line the other night. Here's what he said.
I think, they were certainly ready to go early, and I thought we did a good job for the most part, and I got to do a better job getting the ball out of my hands and moving the pocket and finding the gap.
That's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
Listen, America, Daniel Jones, this is what Daniel Jones is telling y'all. I am terrified. I'm scared. Okay? Y'all see these dudes that trying to protect me? They are opening up floodgates to heaven all over the place. And I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And we got to run a professional organization and play 17 games. Best of luck to me, y'all, but I'm scared.
Okay, that's a very good one. And then finally, because Marcus has a diverse array of understanding, we go to baseball, where the Mets, Javier Baez commented on giving the Mets fans a thumbs down. Here's what he said.
It just feels bad when I strike out and I get booed. You know, it doesn't really get to me, but like I want to let them know that when we success, we're going to do the same thing to let them know how it feels, you know? They got to be better, you know? I play for the fans and I love the fans, but, you know, if they're going to do that, they're just putting more pressures on the team, and that's not what we want.
So that's what Javi Baez said. What does Swagoo say?
Javi Baez really want to say, y'all up there in the stands while I'm down here making $40 million a year, come down here and try to hit one of these damn curveballs or changeups or one of these sliders and see how many times you get booed. Listen, G, we all think it. I used to be that guy. Oh, I can hit a softball. Like the women throw the softball underhand. I can see it coming. You cannot see it. So all y'all standing up there booing, you're mad because you can't do what Javi Baez doing. And Baez telling y'all, come down here and try to hit one and see if we boo you.
That is Swagoo says, and that is why he cuts directly to the chase on most of these things. Now, for those of you who have not been following this, it has been in just absolute unadulterated mess for the Mets. Their owner, Steve Cohen, shared this with the New York Post regarding that thumbs down gesture. He said, these are young guys, and sometimes we forget they're on a public stage and can make mistakes. They hit the third rail, though, by messing with fans, and it's unacceptable. Hopefully this is a teaching moment, and they will learn from this. I think there's a lot to be said about this, and let's have Robert Stanberry, only the third, say a whole bunch of it. Buster, what can you tell us about Javi Baez and what it is in his past that sort of informs why he may have found himself where he is right now?
Because, Greeny, of course, when he was Chicago Cubs, he was never booed. He was a homegrown product there. And early in his career, he was part of that group of players who got the Cubs their first championship in 108 years. Which means he's got a lifetime get-out-of-jail-free card in Chicago, and even when he struggled, he wasn't booed. Well, he goes to New York. He's been booed since he joined the Mets. But here's the thing I think that he and other players have to understand. It really isn't personal. It's business. And from a Mets fan's perspective, they've seen this team go from 4.5 games up in the National League East on July 31st to now 7 games back on August 31st. This is a team that's hemorrhaged 11.5 games in the standings in 1 month, and the Mets fans are unhappy about it. Really isn't about Baez's performance as much as it is about what the team's doing.
In the meantime, Javi Baez has been a Met for a very short time and doesn't figure to be there for a very long time. But another player in the middle of this is that guy that you were seeing on your screen, and that's Francisco Lindor, who has a 10-year contract with the Mets that hasn't even kicked in yet. So he is the face of this franchise for the foreseeable future. How do they handle that? If he's their ambassador and the fans at this point are as disgruntled with him as they are, now what happens?
Greeny, I think the confessional line to the media Zoom call today in the Mets organization will be longer than what you see at most churches, okay? And you would assume that Francisco Lindor might be at the front of that, trying to patch up his relationship with Mets fans, trying to give some explanation about what he did with the gestures and how he responded to Javier Baez. This is an extremely important time for Lindor in his relationship with Mets fans.
No question. Look, he's the guy they're going to put on all of the marketing and all the mailings. Come buy our season tickets. And if the picture of him is him doing this, they're going to have a very difficult time, I think, selling that stuff. All right, Buster, really well done. In the meantime, that's the struggle on one side of New York City. On the other side, the Yankees. They're actually on the other side of the country right now, taking on the Angels on the road, having lost a couple of games in a row. And the Yankees trying to work their way back in this one, down 5-4 in the fifth. That's Giancarlo Stanton with runners at the corners, driving in Anthony Rizzo. The Yankees tie the game at 5, bottom of 5. Shohei Ohtani, oh my goodness, crushes a curveball to deep right, his major league leading 42nd of the season. So the Angels retake the lead at 6-5. It's 7-5 in the seventh. Yankees have a runner at first. Giancarlo Stanton, that one he gets all of 457 feet. His 25th bomb of the year. Yankees tie it again at 7 apiece. Eighth inning, still tied at 7. A runner at third, Juan Lagares, and that's going to drive him in. Taking a slider and lining it to left, Brandon Marsh will score. Lagares gets thrown out trying to stretch it into a double, but the Angels get the lead back at 8-7. Ninth inning, last chance Yankees, Aaron Judge at the plate. Aaron Judge goes down swinging. That's a filthy changeup down in the zone, and the Yankees lose their third in a row. The Angels win it by a score of 8-7. As we roll on, if you are looking for a sneaky Super Bowl contender this year, you may want to look in Foxborough. Could Mac be the missing piece? We'll explain next.